Good
Good.
morning, everyone. This is the DC Incentives Podcast, episode 34. We have a special guest, an author, a coach, an entrepreneur. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today. Really appreciate the love and the welcome. Hey, everyone. So my name is Shanine Alessia Young. As you stated, I am an author. I am a coach. I coach authors and entrepreneurs and show them how to write books that will basically grow their business. So I show them how to publish it and how to market it. And I'm just an entrepreneur at heart as well. I've been an entrepreneur for a few years, started out in photography and then started branching out into coaching. So just been growing my coaching business for the past 2 years. So, and I love that because I'm a teacher. So I'm a certified teacher. So I literally love walking people through processes and helping them get that aha moment. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. I got so many questions to ask. I'm going to start off with your origin story. Talk about where you started from.
So yeah, I started, so as I said, I started out doing photography maybe about six years ago. Started out 6 years ago, did that for a couple years, had a business. It was going really well. And then I kind of realized, I was like, okay, because I used to model too. So I used to do a lot. I used to model. And then I was like, okay, well, let me see how it's like, you know, taking the picture instead of being behind the camera.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it, but I was just like, I kind of want to, you know, do something else that I think I would enjoy a little more. Mm-hmm. So I started in education in 2013. Started teaching and was really just focusing on that. And then after teaching for about 5 years, I decided to write a book about my experience. So I wrote my first book. It was called Reaching While Teaching, The Educator's Guide to Impacting and Transforming Lives. So I wrote that really well. Huh?
That's a hell of a title. It's hard to remember all those words. It's not like,
well, people just remember Reaching While Teaching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the subtitle is, you know, The Educator's Guide. So they know that's for educators. And then what it's supposed to do, you're supposed to learn how to impact and transform lives. So, but most people just say, oh yeah, Reaching While Teaching, I bought the book. So yeah, I did that, sold hundreds of copies, got into my local bookstore in South Florida, because I'm originally from Florida.
Just I can't tell with your accent.
You can't tell?
No, I can't tell. You don't have a Floridian accent. You don't say y'all. I don't hear a lot of names. I don't hear a lot of country bumpkin stuff.
Well, I do say y'all a lot, actually, but I'm Floridian, but I have Jamaican in me as well, so it's like a mix. You hear some accents depending on some words I say. But yeah, so had my book in a local bookstore down there, and then people just started asking me questions about the process. How did you do it? Can you help me? So I started mentoring people a little bit on the side, and then I don't know, I think just writing my first book kind of like pushed me to want to like start like an official business, because with my photography business I was doing it for so long, but I never really registered it with the state or nothing like that. So with this one, I was like, okay, I started selling like inspirational apparel, and then I started doing the courses, showing people how to publish a book, and I was like, you know what, let me make this official. So I got it registered on my state's website, and then it was just took off from there. Started growing my clientele. People started finding out about what I do, and I've just been loving it ever since. I went into it full time in March. So in March, I moved to Georgia with my husband and then stopped teaching. So I wasn't teaching from March all the way to December. So yeah, I've just been focusing on, you know, my business and really growing it. And God's been good. It's been doing really good.
Absolutely. All the time. Amen.
Yes. So could you take us back I know you jumped like all the way forward to where you are in the present, but take me back to when you first started modeling.
Just to let you know, he's going to ask you about a million questions. So just be prepared.
Okay, let me prepare. I should have brought my water. Let me prepare.
You can get water.
Yeah, you can take a break and get your water if you need to.
right, I'm good right now. Go ahead.
So you start modeling. I'm assuming were you discovered? What made you decide to go into the field at all?
Well, I've always been told that I should model, and then South Florida is pretty big down there in South Florida, so I would go to like little different events. I had a lot of casting calls. I did a few events that were paid, and then I was just like, oh wow, I enjoyed this. And
How'd
then
that first paycheck feel? That first paycheck just for looking pretty.
felt good. It felt good. It felt good. I think it felt really good when I had a student. I was teaching. I wasn't an official teacher yet, but I was doing a program. I'm not sure if you heard of it. It's called City Year.
No.
So it's kind of like you go into the schools that really need help, and you mentor the students and you work with them one on one, and then you get like an educational grant after the year of your service. So I did that, and that was in Miami. It was a rough school there. And I remember like one of the students, he sent something to my cousin on this little app that they use sometimes to tell them to do their homework, and there was like a picture of me. On like a hair store in front of the store. I was like, what? I didn't know that they were doing that, because I knew they were putting it in a magazine, but I was just like, so then I drove over there and I seen it and I recorded it, and I was like, oh wow, this is pretty cool. So that was really nice for me. So I enjoyed it. I did that for a good little minute, a couple years. But I think I don't know what made me stop. I'm trying to think what made me stop. I think I knew I didn't really want to do anything like too crazy. I know sometimes they may ask you to do like wear bikinis, different stuff like that. I was just like, no,
Okay,
I like
so
taking,
nothing in the nude.
yeah, I'm not. I just like taking pretty pictures. I like to just model on the runway. That's it. So.
So was that first paycheck? Because modeling isn't a normal 9 to 5 job, and I don't know what you did beforehand. But was that first paycheck for doing something that I'm assuming you love, the spark that let you know that I do, in fact, have the entrepreneurial spirit?
I think so. I think it showed me that it's possible. Like you don't have to like be put into a box, like where you have to be like, oh, you have to go clock in and stuff. Like it showed me that it's possible to, you can make money off of doing things that you love, turning your story into a profit somehow. So yeah.
So you be so that's motivational speaking. How tell me about the transition of when you was working a 9 to 5 and 9 to 5 you transition to an entrepreneur. Like when was the day when you was like, all right, it's time.
That was earlier this year. I think me and my husband, we had a plan, so we were moving. So the original goal was, okay, like you take, I think COVID too like got me used to kind of just like, because when COVID happened, educators, we were basically staying at home. We tried the online thing, but we weren't really trained, even though some of us we did it good. But after like a month or so, they were just like, okay, school year's over. Just they all passed. So
Were you still getting paid or no?
yeah, we're still getting paid. Yeah, of course, that's not our fault. Yeah, we were still getting paid, thank God. So that was in, I think, March of 2020. So from March all the way until, we didn't go back until September of 2020. It kind of like, and I was really pushing, my business and everything was doing well. So I was just like, okay, even though I was still getting paid and I was still kind of employed, I felt like I'm doing my entrepreneurship full time. So it kind of gave me a little taste of it. And then in March of 2021, then that's when me and my husband, we decided, we wanted to move to Georgia, because we knew like for our business and just like it would be a really good, you know, move for us, and we kind of wanted something different. So once we moved, obviously I can't work in Florida anymore. They weren't going to allow me to teach, you know, virtual from a whole nother state. So basically, yeah, basically I was kind of just like ready. I was just like, I think it's that time to kind of, you know, take a break, step away. So I did that, and I loved it. I stayed home watching my daughter, homeschooling her, and then growing my business. And I don't think I would have got it to the point to where it is now if I didn't have these months to kind of like, you know, really build it, to grow my brand and to, you know, grow my clientele. So I mean, it was a process, but it was it. And that's why I came up with the book that I just recently wrote, Freedom Over Fear, because I mean, for some people, they might be like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. As soon as I move, I gotta go try to find a new job. But it's just like, it's not guaranteed, but it's like, you gotta have that faith, and you know, everything worked out, so I'm grateful.
Yeah, I always find that decision to stop getting your guaranteed income and venture into the unknown to be one of the bravest things you can do, especially when you move. How did you develop that mindset? Did it start from, I'm going to assume it started from photography because it sounds like from modeling, transitioning from modeling to photography, photography sort of gave you the first foundations of what it means to run your own business. Did that help you feel confident in transitioning into what you're doing now, or what inspired you to tether your ties with teaching with confidence?
I think for me, I think the photography helped because it showed me that it's possible, and it kind of gave me the background that I needed. Like, oh, you gotta have this in place. You can't just be like, yeah, I'm gonna make money. Like, no, you actually have to have a plan and have the strategy behind it. And I think my family, I'm big on like family time. So me being able to stay home with my daughter and actually teach her and see like, oh, she's learning how to spell. She's like me using my skills and teaching. It kind of gave me that extra push, like, okay, this is possible. You know, I could still watch her and still grow my business. So like, and she has like a lot of different allergies as well. So I wasn't really comfortable sending her out anywhere. Just because we're still trying to figure out her diet, what she can actually eat. So I think that played a part in it as well. Like, okay, I get to stay home, you know, with my baby girl, and I still get to do what I love. I think that played a big part.
I love it when you said family is most important. And can you please give advice for the audience why family is important instead of just grind, 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 work, work, work?
I mean, we see it several times, like just millionaires, billionaires, people that, you know, on their deathbed, like they don't wish, like, oh, I wish I would have closed that contract, that last contract, that like that felt like they don't care about that. Like they care about, man, I should have probably spent more time with my wife or my kids, or you know. So like I never want to be a person that, you know, you could achieve all this success, you can gain all these worldly possessions and all these things, but it's like you lose what's really important. So for me, that's important. So I want to encourage anyone, you know, to make sure you have a balance. So make sure you have, you know, those days where you're just like, I'm just not gonna work on my business today. Like today, you know, we're gonna go out, we're gonna do this, or this is a movie day, we're gonna do something. So really trying to keep that balance, and I think that's what's important, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to leave this earth with regrets. Even though people say, you know, you don't want to have all these dreams and not fulfill it, but to me, it's not rewarding if I check up all these things on my list, but then I neglect, you know, those ones that I would actually want to celebrate with me and to share in the joys of, you know, what I accomplished.
So, talk about more of why family is, why family, for you, like let's say you and your husband, y'all plan out things for the future. So, you guys are getting a partnership of writing down what is the next goal for you and your husband. I'm family. And what I'm saying.
So why is that important that we plan out goals?
I
Yes,
think what he's really asking is,
family-wise. no, I think what Rich is asking is, you and your husband, how do you come together both as working and entrepreneurial adults to find time to carve out time for your family?
That too, but how could what advice would you give for the audience for to plan things out together as a family?
So I think you have to schedule things in. Like me, I'm very like practical. I try to be organized as possible. So sometimes you just say things like, "Yeah, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna do this," but it's like you don't really sit time to actually see how this is gonna happen, how it's gonna be possible. So sometimes we will be like, "Okay," like we something that worked really well was we had to put each other in our calendars. So we had to like, okay, so Saturday. He sees like, okay, from this time to this time, I'm gonna be making content. So like if we haven't found a school for my daughter, then he knows like, okay, I need you to make sure you're covering her. You know, you're watching her during this time. When he was at work, then I would do it in the day. And then when he comes home at night, you know, he would watch her for a little bit and whatnot. So it's kind of been like back and forth. Like he'll work a little bit and I'll be at home and I'll work a little bit and he'll be at home full time, but we still was always entrepreneurs. So I
What
think
does he do if you don't mind me asking?
so right now he has a logistics business where he, you know, transports, has drivers that transport different things, local and out of state. And he went to school for engineering, so he's an engineer, engineer at heart. So when we moved up here, he started, you know, in the engineering field, and then he kind of just was like, he was ready to go. He wanted to like just really, you know, work for himself. I think we all have that moment where we realize like we're kind of just like pawns, like we're building other people's empires and dreams, and not building, you know, his own. And he had a bad experience with his previous employer, and just was like, nah, I'm gonna try to, you know, really just do my own, you know, do my own thing and build my own business. So, yeah, so really just the scheduling, I think that helps. And then really coming together. And so we come together, we get in each other's calendars, and then we have a day where we literally focus on, okay, budgeting, we focus on our goals, we focus on what we want to accomplish in the next 2 months, next 5 months, the next year. And then we make a plan, and then we, you know, we come in agreement. We pray together, and we make sure, you know, this is the will for our life, for our family. And then we just go ahead and tackle
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
it.
Let's go. Okay. Go ahead, Naron.
All right. So you and your husband both don't have a 9 to 5. Can you talk to me about your day to day as entrepreneurs? How does it work?
So now I actually have a 9 to 5 that I just
Oh,
started.
wow. We've been trashing 9 to 5 this whole time. Listen, Shanice employees, listen, we love 9 to 5s, 9 to 5s, and we keep food on the table. But then you said anything about it was a joke. Everything else was all like for jokes, I
You good.
promise.
Listen, listen, listen. This is, I have a 9 to 5 temper. This is temporary. I just started like 2 weeks now. Yeah, so from
Temporarily.
March all the way to like December,
So that's
I
even
was.
more interesting because you have the demands of your job, you have the demands of being a mother, a wife, and you also have the demands of your business. So what is your day-to-day really looking like?
Naron, let her speak, please. Let her speak. Let her
Don't
speak. She,
try.
I can see she about to get the balls hitting.
Oh gosh. I'm still trying to find a balance, but now I'm on break, so my schedule is like back to normal, like what I'm used to. But when like last week, it was hard because the week before I had my book launch and networking event for my new book that I coached my co-authors to write, and that was in Miami, so I had to fly down. I had to fly down on the Friday. And then Friday night, and then I had to fly back the Saturday night, and then I had to, you know, try to like Sunday, like get back focused and go back to work Monday. So, and I did the same thing. I just flew in last night because my client flew me out for her launch event on Friday. So I had to do the same. So it's kind of been like back-to-back weekend, which is like traveling and stuff like that. So I would say my schedule is pretty much wake up at 6:45, wake up at 6:45, get to work for 8 o'clock. Then I can't leave until like 4, which I'm not used to because anytime I taught, I would always leave like at 2:45 or the latest 3 o'clock. So like 4, I'm like, ooh, the day's almost done. What can I do? I can barely make the bank. So once I leave there, depending on the day, I might have to tutor when I get home for an hour, and then have to work on my business, and then have to, I may have to cook that day, or my husband decides to cook that day. So it's like sometimes I don't go to sleep till like after 1.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so
Oh
and I think because I'm still trying to get the hang of it, like now I'm thinking like once I go back in January, like to kind of have a different schedule, like maybe have certain days, like kind of get back to what me and my husband used to do, where like let's say Monday and Wednesday, that'll be my day in the evening where I can work on my business. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about cooking. I don't have to worry, like he'll take care of, that. And then those days in between, the Tuesday and Thursday, those will be his night to work on his music, to work on his business. 'Cause he also, that's his passion. He does music. So he,
yeah.
yeah, that's what he's passionate about. So I think now I'm kind of seeing like what I need to do. I think at first it was like a lot of things trying to like juggle everything, and it was still pretty new. But my assistant helps a lot, so I probably would be staying up till about 4 if I didn't have an assistant. So she helps a lot. She's really from. She wasn't even in my same state. She's in Alabama, and she was like putting everything together for my event that was in Florida. So I think I'm gonna really try to like use her a little more. And during this break, I'm really gonna figure out how I can be less, accessible and doing things a little differently, so that I can make sure I'm getting that sleep, because I believe in getting your rest. So my goal is to try to go to sleep at least by 11.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you talked about an assistant. You have an assistant. And you have a 9 to 5 and you're an entrepreneur. So what is the vehicle of your 9 to 5? Do you use your 9 to 5 as a vehicle for your business?
That's the only reason why I went back. Yeah. Let me make
Wow.
sure nobody's watching this.
That's what I'm saying. You go a bit young, everybody's gonna be watching this. Your employees might be
Oh,
watching this.
yes. No, I kind of wanted to see like, okay, if this was something that I would miss, because I do enjoy, working in education. I do know it's changed a bit since COVID has started. So I'm kind of just going back in there and seeing like, okay, that's a little different. And then it's a whole other state. So there's a lot of things that I'm like, oh, this is how it happened. This is how things go down in Georgia compared to Florida. So I'm still, checking that out and seeing like, okay, this is interesting. But yeah, that was the original goal with going back. The same way how my husband allowed me for, what is that, 6 months? How many months it was? Can't remember. Lose account. All those months, how he allowed me to like really focus and to build my business. And then he worked a 9 to 5. So I kind of want to do the same thing, for him. And then I don't want the money for my business to be covering like the bills like right now. Like I wanted to like go back into the business. So I was just like, okay, if I work a 9 to 5, that will take care of, the bills. His business will take care of the bills too, as he grows it and gets it to where he wants it to be. Because this is, he'll have this time, because he doesn't have to worry too much. So that's kind of the goal that, I went into it with a mindset, and I have like a timeline on, how long I want to be there and what I want to do. And I think there's nothing wrong with it if you have a 9 to 5, as long as you have like, especially if you're trying to leave your 9 to 5, as long as you have a plan in place on how you want to do it, and don't get caught up in like, because sometimes you may just get caught up and just like, I'm just gonna keep staying, and then you just keep pushing off your plan and pushing off your goals for your business. But yeah, that's not the case right here.
Wow. Okay. So talk more about freedom over fear. Talk about what made you get that edge of freedom over fear? Why that word, freedom over fear?
Freedom over fear. Well, a quote that I actually have in the book is I say, fear starts in the mind, but so does freedom. So I think sometimes we cause ourselves to be defeated before we even start because of our mindset, because of what we think, and because of the things that we say, and even just the people that we are around. So freedom over fear really came from seeing like the people around us, seeing what we've been doing in our life, seeing how we've branched out and we desire to have freedom, not just financial freedom, spiritual freedom, but all types of freedom, not being like not feeling like we're controlled or we have to do certain things just to survive. Like we believe everyone should be able to like walk in complete freedom and do those things that they love and believe that, you can make a income off of doing the things you love. You can have things set up for your future generations and for your family. And you don't have to kind of like worry about like, oh, I can't do this. I can't spend this over here, because you don't have the freedom to do it. So with the book Freedom Over Fear, we kind of wanted to touch on financial freedom, which is a big one, which I think everyone needs.
Yes,
And
absolutely.
just that.
Yes, talk about it. It is a necessity,
It's a necessity.
necessary.
It's not,
There we go.
listen. If we didn't learn anything from the pandemic, you see how it's so easy for just people to just like drop you or, fire you just like that. So I feel like you gotta have different streams of income coming in. You can't just rely and put your eggs in one basket. So, and then being strategic though, because I heard something the other day, they were like, oh, some people have like, you got five different streams, but it's like, it's not really a stream, it's a pond. It's like it's not flowing. It's like you're doing this, you got this hair business, you're doing this t-shirt, but you're doing like 10 different things, and it's like there's nothing bringing you in, a substantial amount of money, and it's not flowing like a how a river should flow. It's more like a pond. It's just like, oh, you get a little $50 here, So I think if we're gonna be serious about getting financial freedom, you want to make sure you focus on one first, like focus on one stream of income first, and really figure out how you can get that business or that service to the point where you want it to be. Then you can start branching off and doing other things. But not allowing fear to hold you back. That's the biggest thing, because I think sometimes we fear the unknown. We fear what people are gonna say. We fear, oh, is this even gonna work? But it's just like, if I'm a big believer in if God gave you that vision, if you know that you're not just jumping into doing it, you're seeking wise counsel, you're getting assistance, you're actually, writing down a strategy and figuring out how you're gonna do it, then you got this. Like, of course you're gonna be a little scared, but you still gotta go forward. You still gotta do it. So that's why I think freedom over fear means a lot, because in business owners, like we had to step out of our comfort zone at one point in order to start that business, in order to grow it, especially if we left our 9 to 5. You had to tackle fear, because guess what? You want freedom. You want, that financial freedom. You want that freedom in your life to not feel like you can't do the things that you want to do.
Absolutely. Now, when you touched on financial freedom, can you give for the audience what streams, multiple streams of revenue do you have? You do coaching, motivational speaking. What else? Like, what else do you do as far as like that way people can have that? Okay, I'm gonna do this for my business.
Okay, cool. And I actually list in the book, I actually list a bunch of different ideas, because I guess as I keep saying, the teacher in me, I like to be practical. I don't like to just be like, yeah, you could do this, be great. No, I like to show you practical steps.
You have a book. Do you have the book on you right now that you would like to promote?
Of course.
There it goes. You see what I'm saying?
You I'm a coach. Of course, you guys are ready all the time. Come
on, let's go.
For those of you who can't see, she just lifted up the book out of nowhere. You know what I mean? She had it ready to go. I can't believe it.
Listen, you gotta stay ready so you ain't gotta get ready.
That's great marketing. That is fantastic marketing.
You go, yes. Freedom over fear. You go, people. Yes.
So yes, I would say so. Some of the streams I have is with the coaching. That's one of my main ones. That's what I really focus on. I also, you know, I have a few courses as well. And let's see. Yeah, I would speaking. I do speaking as well. And it's all kind of related to people. If people ask me to speak, it's more so, you know, about how they can become an author. It's more so about like kind of things what I'm known for, content marketing. So I'm a part of a group called the 9-to-5 CEOs. And we actually had a conference in November in Miami. And then we're having one in Atlanta in May. So we talk about, you know, we choose different things based on our business. So I will focus on content marketing and different things like that. So if I'm speaking, it's either about being an author or it's about content marketing. So that's another stream. Also, just being an author is a stream, right? Because I have books on Amazon and I have books on my website. So people are still purchasing that, especially anytime I do like a post or I go live, like I get people that, you know, oh, okay, I forgot, I got to get my copy, and they purchase. So that's another stream. And you notice all of these are related. I'm not saying nothing like, oh yeah, and then I do hair, you know, on the side. Mm-hmm. So I want people to be mindful, like try to make sure you want to be known for something. So when someone sees me, I don't want it to be like, oh, she does this, but then I think she does this too. She also does, like, I want to be known, you know, for like, you know, one thing, and they right. know like what to come to me for. So I try to make sure the streams are in line with that. And I also get a stream from my my podcast as well. I have sponsors for my show. And then based on, you know, certain listens, I get, you know, money from that as well.
Damn, it looks like we might have to come to her for how to do that, because you know I'm not gonna get into details, but you know,
listen, I'm big on getting sponsors. I got you.
So what inspired you to write Freedom Over Fear?
I would say seeing myself and then seeing my husband as well, just hearing his story and just like, because he never really expressed it to me, but then he was like, yeah, because they kind of did him wrong at his job. They told him he would get his position back. And then he took like one for the team. He like went down just so like other people.
He got a demotion.
So that other people wouldn't lose their job. Right. And then like, they were like, oh yeah, only for 3 months, whatnot. 3 months came, he's asking. They're just like, oh, we didn't say that. Like, acting like they forgot. Like, I was like, oh, really?
Really?
So, yeah, at that point, he kind of started, like, planning his move, getting out. And then I think COVID hit, and eventually, yeah, he did leave. And then he started his business. And just seeing that, it was just like, wow, like, we really got to make sure we have some other things in place. Because, like, you know, you're 9-to-5, it may not be promised, especially with this whole, like, if you're not trying to take a vaccine, you know, at certain requirements and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah. I feel like if we should have the freedom to do what we want to do. So if you feel like you don't want to take that, then you shouldn't be forced to be living on the street just because, you know, you don't want to do certain things. I feel like we should have that type of freedom. So Freedom Over Fear really came from a point where seeing like it's possible to go after your dreams. It's possible to make more than what you're making at your 9-to-5. Like, right. I think it's people think like, no, I have to have this because I need to be making this. Once I seen that I was able to make to double my teaching, what I was
making salary.
Teaching salary. I was just like, wow, okay, this is actually possible. Yeah. And it gives you that, like, once you don't think it's possible and then you see someone else doing it. So like with the book, it's filled with, 7 different business owners. We're sharing our own experience. We're sharing like things that we did to, grow our business, to start our business. We share, you know, our journey to financial freedom. And I think it's good to hear different points of view, because that gives you that encouragement. Just like when you hear people's testimonies, you're just like, oh, wow, you went through that. So sometimes we think the journey is going to be easy. But no, once you read the book, you see like some people, it wasn't easy in the beginning. Like sometimes they were charging like very, very low when they should have been charging more, but they wanted to get their feet in the door. They wanted to actually see if this was something that they loved. And then now, like one of the authors in here, they're photographers, and I started working with them, and I was just like, they were really good, but they were charging like very low. Now they're to the point where people are flying them out. They're doing like masterminds all over the world, filming thousands of dollars. And I'm just like, wow. Cause they gave me a quote for my event in May. And I was like, oh, y'all on this level. Okay.
Oh man, did you regret that? Did you regret that? Pushing them to like up their prices just enough to screw you over with the bill?
No. Listen, I will gladly pay. If I know that you're gonna give me the service that I need, I will gladly pay you. So I'm literally just proud of them. I'm really proud of all the other authors. And I'm just like, I want people to, when they read it, they see like, okay, you know, it's possible to improve my finances. It's possible to improve my mindset and so much more, and then get like tips on how they can do it. So that was pretty much the drive behind the book, showing people like there's, you know, there's different ways. Like, you don't have to, like, if you choose to stay in this box or choose to do it this way, that's fine. But just know that there's also another way that you can be doing things. So, yeah.
Okay. Nairon, anything else? Because I know you still got a million questions on you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently in the middle of doing a little creative project myself. I have this idea for a short story. It's part of the reason why I'm so interested in how you started writing your book. So talk to me about it. So you had your idea, you had the spark, you sit down in front of the computer. How did you get that first paragraph? How did you get the second and third and so on?
So with this, with my other book, I think that would be more so kind of to answer your question. Because with the other book, this one's a little different. So with my first book, it was more so, this is what I teach even through my program. Like you need to have an outline. So having some type of outline, like, so maybe listing out the chapters on what you want to talk about, and it may change, but like having some type of structure rather than just like writing and you're just all over the place. I think structure is key, because then you don't want to like write a bunch of stuff and then you're just like, dang, this doesn't even fit in the book. Like it's not going to work. You just wasted time. So I think coming up with an outline in the beginning and then kind of writing towards, you know, that outline can help. And then I set like goals for myself. So I set like weekly goals, how many more words I want to write for that week. And then I had like, okay, so if I want to write 300 words this week or 500 words this week, then okay, cool. So by next month, this time I should have at least 10,000 words, you know, so kind of setting a goal for yourself. So that was kind of the process for that first book. This second book, it was a little easier because throughout the book, so for example, it starts off with the author. They have their pictures. They, you know, they have a little introduction, so you kind of put a face to them and see who they are. And then it has questions. So they all have like the same questions. So like, for example, one is, what were some of the fears you experienced before venturing out and starting your business? So they answer that, they explain it, they break it down. Then there's the next question. So basically, we all had the same question, and then we're kind of just writing paragraphs to answer the question. So it was a little, you know, it's a little different approach with that book. And I think that was a little easier, because you're able to kind of structure, you know, your thoughts and what you should be talking about. So yeah.
Right. You kind of have your audience, you kind of have the people you're interviewing form the story for you. You're just putting together the pieces. What was the first book about?
The first book was about educators. So, okay. So how they can make a impact and how they can use their their platform, use their experience as educators to help the students, not just to go every day teaching, but like, how can you make that connection with them? How can you connect with others as well? Administration, there were chapters about administration, doing your best. But it's crazy because a lot of people that weren't even educators, they were benefiting. They was like, I love it, I love it, I love it. It's showing me how, you know, even in my job, I can do things differently, giving me ideas on what I can do and how I can be the best. Because one chapter was be the best you possible. So really showing them different steps on how not to allow, you know, what others say to kind of cause you to not be your true authentic self, and really how to tap into your gifts, into your talents, into your skills. So it was more so for educators and really showing them some practical things that they can do, giving them that encouragement and just giving them the advice that they need. And they had a spot where they can write their little notes after each chapter. And then at the end of every chapter was like a daily prayer, because teachers, we need that. We need that. Say that prayer real quick. Like, okay, Lord, I'm about to walk into the classroom. Help me. It was daily prayers at the end of each chapter. But yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to hound you too much over the book, but is there any particular quotation of yours that stand out to you, something that you'd want the audience to hear?
Which book?
That's a hell of a question, too. Which book?
You said which book?
Your latest one.
The latest book?
The latest one.
Let me find it. I actually made it big in the book. It's big.
You know, give the audience here a little taste of what you got.
Let's see. So one, I wrote it real big, and it says, our actions can sabotage our financial future, and that's why so many people stay broke forever. So
say that again.
Our actions can sabotage our financial future, and that's why so many people stay broke forever. So in the chapter I was talking about, I was talking about different actions that we do that we kind of need to unlearn, especially when it comes to credit. Like, people don't really know how to use credit cards correctly. Like, they think like, oh, it's just free money, I'm just going to keep charging. Like, you should not use like a credit card. Like, you shouldn't use more than what you actually have if you can't really pay that back, right? And then you should only be using under 30%, you know, of the actual credit limit. So like, breaking down some of those things. And then as in business, sometimes business owners, like, they want people to pay their invoices, right? But they never want to pay an invoice for anyone else. They never want to invest in their business. They never want to, you know, pay anything. They just like, nah, you pay me. And it's just like, no, how do you expect to really grow? Like, if you're not investing in, you know, learning about certain things to take your business to the next level, or even investing in getting the right team, because you can't do everything, especially if you call yourself a, I have a section where I talked about, you know, if you want to be a CEO, you have to have a different mindset. A CEO, like, you, if you call McDonald's right now, you're not going to speak to the CEO of McDonald's, because he's not that easily accessible, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's how we should have our mindset. Like, we shouldn't want to be like so accessible in every single area of our business. Like, we need to have different people over certain things. So that's why I was like, I had to have that assistant, because I'm just like, okay, I want to be able to do the things in my business that I actually enjoy. So if I don't enjoy sending out emails, doing email marketing, if I don't enjoy posting content, I want to do the things that I enjoy. And I enjoy being able to speak with clients and being able to coach them. So I talk a lot about that as well. But I think our actions really sabotage our financial future if we're not being careful of the things that we're doing and how we're operating our business. Sometimes we operate it I'm an entrepreneur. It's just like, but you don't have that CEO mindset. So I kind of break down, you know, how you can really operate and run your business as a CEO so they can actually grow and thrive. So you're not having to like be in the business, like, in order for it to run. Like, your business should be able to run without you having to like be in, like, you have to clock in every day. Like, no, like, it should be able to flow. So getting it to a point where it can do that, I think that's huge. And then making sure you're being mindful of the actions, the things that you're doing, so that you don't stay broke forever. Because a lot of people, They're like, I don't know why. I just keep living paycheck to paycheck. I just keep, and it's just like, yeah, but let's take a look at some of the things you've been doing, how you've been spending, really looking. Yeah. Sometimes people don't look at that. They just, I don't know why. And it's just like, yeah, but you just bought this for $500, but your paycheck is only like $700. So why? That doesn't make any sense. So, yeah.
I hope our audience is taking notes, get a pen and a pad, because this is bars hitting.
I do appreciate that quote.
This is definitely okay. So we get into okay. So we have a question. What's up, TC? How do you avoid writer's block?
That's a good question. I think setting like a changing your environment. So like if you're sitting at your desk and you're just like, nothing's coming to me, then maybe you need to go outside. Maybe you need to change your scenery. Maybe bring your notebook to go to the park, go somewhere else and see if you get some inspiration, you know, from another environment. Also, I think what helps is if you have a writer block, then just take a break. Don't sit there and try to force it. Don't sit there and try to like, I have to do it because I said I was going to write 200 words today. Like, no. Take a break and maybe see if you can go back to it like tomorrow or go back to it in a couple hours. I think those are all the things that help with writer's block. And then something that helps as well is making sure you have an outline. So if you know what you're going to be writing about, then you can kind of like write. But if you're kind of just like, I'm not sure, I think I'm going to talk about this. And then you start writing, you're just like, oh, but I'm stuck. I don't know what to write. So having some type of outline can give you that structure that you need and kind of help you make the ideas, I think, flow a little better.
Let's go.
Well, I'm glad that was helpful, Aquarius.
What's up, Aquarius Queen? Let's go. Okay. Oh man. So talk about. I want to go back to finance, right? Let's go to finance real quick. I know. Are we pressed on time? Oh, do we have more time?
I got about 10 more minutes.
All right. So we got 10 minutes. All right, trying to think
like the best questions to ask, you know.
All right, so thank you for your TC said thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So since we only have 10 minutes of your time, well, what we're gonna do is you're gonna give your, because every time we have a conclusion to the podcast, we either give final thoughts, you could give your final thoughts, and then how can people connect with you through social media. So Nairon, since we only have 10 minutes, ask your questions and then she's going to say her final thoughts and connect her and what's her social media. And then the people that are watching on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, if you have you know, your main question, ask it now. But go ahead, TC. I mean, oh my God, I'm sorry. Nairon, I'm sorry.
He forgets me. I'm forgettable on this podcast.
Never say that.
So I got two questions, two pivotal questions. I don't know if you're going to be able to answer both in time, but in terms of entrepreneurship, it's different from a 9-to-5 in that there is no real retirement safety net, right? How do you cope with the fear of the possibility of not having that retirement safety net as you proceed with the businesses that you do have?
Well, when I was, that's why I say you have to have a plan. You have to be strategic. When I was working, I still have money like from my, when I was working, you know, for the past 7 years in education, I was putting money towards my retirement. So I have that, and I think being smart, and that's some things that I share, you know, in the book as well. Like you, if that's what you care about, and that's what's important, which it is, you should be putting money aside with every check that you get, you know, from your business as well. So the same way how you would be doing it at your job, at your 9-to-5, they just take out, you know, a certain amount. They may match it, but hey. How about you match it yourself? You know, if you get your business to the point where you want it to be, and that income is coming in, which I know that it will. Like, it may not happen like right away. Like, when I started in like when I started being full time in March, money wasn't coming in like that, you know, super fast. No, it gradually happened. It wasn't until I believe in April that I start April, and then I started to see more. And then every month, literally, I would have on my wall like sticky notes. Like I would pray, and I would have my closet, and I'd be like, okay, this month, God, I want to make this amount. This is gonna cover this. I want, and then every single month, I would add $1,000 to that. And God would just be like, okay. And I remember one month I was like, wait, did I really make that? I had to go back through my books and check everything. And I was like, wow, I did. So I think it's possible, but some people, they don't have that mindset. They don't think it's possible. So that's why everything starts in the mind. Like, fear starts in the mind, but so does freedom. So I had this mindset of what I wanted to achieve and wanted to accomplish. And I knew, like, I need to be able to put money aside, you know. So in the next 10 years, let's say, something happens where I can't, you know, continue in the business. I want to have money aside. I don't want to just like live for now. And I think wealthy people understand, like, it's not like they focus on investing. So mm-hmm. just because you don't have, you know, the 9 to 5 or that you could use a 401, whatever, the retirement savings plan, like, there's different ways that you can invest, and you can open one on your own. You could do Fidelity. You could still do these things. It's just that you don't have to be attached to a 9 to 5. To do it. Like, there's still ways for you to build that retirement fund. So I think, but that's financial intelligence. You have to know this information. So you have to study these things. You have to, you know, become knowledgeable about them. And then I think once I started to do that, me and my husband started to have conversations, then it kind of like, I wasn't really stressed or worried about that. I was just like, okay, it's going to work out. And if I know that God is telling me to go in this direction, I'm like, I don't have to worry. I was saying, first of all, it makes no sense because I can't control anything. He's controlling everything. I'm just doing my best, trying to, you know, take the necessary steps. So, yeah.
Okay. And so, my final question.
Oh. Hold on, Nyron. Yeah. Hold on for a second. One of our audience just asked you, is it okay if we can have more time? Because you are they need this right now. That's what they just said. That they just said this just now.
But I don't see them asking no questions. Do they have questions? I see no questions.
I see one question.
You see one
question. Aquarius Queen, what advice would you give to people who are taking risks to reach financial freedom? That's a good one.
I would say, understand that, you know, it is a risk, but understand that it is possible. I would say write the vision, make it plain. So write down so you want to achieve financial freedom, but that's very vague. So what is exactly that you want to achieve? I would say make sure you write these things down, like what I was doing in my closet on these sticky notes. I was writing down, you know, the income that I wanted to make, you know, from my business. I was writing down things that I wanted to do. I literally wrote down that I want to have my first, you know, my own event, like speaking event, you know, before the year's out. And then I had two. So like, you want to like write these things out, put it on paper. Cause it's not, I don't think it's, if it's just still up in your mind, it's still not real. Like, write it on paper, write it down so that you can actually see it. So you can start taking those steps that you need to achieve it. And then another advice I would say is stop trying to do everything on your own. So you might need to connect with somebody else. You might need to get a mentor. You might need to get a coach. You might need to work with someone that has reached the level that you're trying to reach, right? So I was actually in the airport last night, and I was reading one of my co-authors' chapter in the book, and she was saying how someone told her that she needs these three types of people. It's like, you need people that are on the same level as you. You need someone that's above you, and you need people that's below you, so that you can, you know, you can reach out and connect with the people on your same level. You can learn from the people above you, and then you can go back down and help those people that are under you. So I was just like, oh, wow. That was good. That was good. I loved it. That was deep. So I think like you need to surround yourself with a good network of people that can help you achieve your financial freedom. Because you, especially if you're trying to be in a business, let's say you're trying to do a coaching business, or you're trying to do like a hair business, you're not going to know everything. So it's okay to ask for help and to seek that counsel and to get that advice to help you get to that place of financial freedom that you want to get to.
Okay, bars, bars. All right, I'm sorry, Nairon. Go ahead.
I
Oh,
think
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I know we ex respect time. Nairon's gonna ask this question, and then you can give your final thoughts, and then social media, unless our audience have the questions.
yeah, tell them if they got a question, they got to ask. They got to ask.
How do I put this? You mentioned earlier that you, for your photography business, you turned it from an endeavor to something that is legitimized as a business and recognized as a business. What were the steps, the specific steps you took to take that photography business from illegitimate to legitimate? The paperwork that you needed to file, the tax codes, all of that. What did you have to do for that?
So the photography business, I didn't get it filed. So the photography business, I was doing that for a while and I was filing it on my taxes, but it wasn't like a it was under, I think, a sole proprietor. It
Okay.
wasn't, yeah. But when I started my coaching business, that's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna take this serious. So I went on, it's called Sunbiz here in Florida. SunBiz,
Okay.
and I got it registered. I got my EIN number.
Is it sunbiz.com or?
SunBiz.org, I think.
Okay.
SunBiz.org. But
All right.
once you Google, if you Google SunBiz, it'll come up. So once I did that, then I got it basically registered with the state, and then I got my EIN number, and then
But for our audience members that might not know what an EIN number is, can you explain that?
It's kind of like a like how we all have a social security number. It's kind of like the social security number for your business. So like when you go to open bank accounts, they're going to ask for this. Sometimes when you try to get credit, they may ask for this. And this is the number you want to give instead of giving your social, because you don't want your business to be attached to like you. You want it to have its own like entity, right? So when I opened my bank account, my business bank account, that's what I use. I use my EIN. I was like, y'all not getting my social. So so that's something you want to keep in mind. But yeah, those are the steps I took, and I made sure I had the account so I would be official.
What
All
account?
this opened a business checking account under my
Gotcha.
business name with the EIN number, with all the information that I registered for the state. And you had to provide them with a document. I'm not sure the exact name, but I think it might be like articles of something. I don't know why I want to say articles of the Confederation, but that don't sound right. But
Absolutely not.
it's you they email it to you right after you register. So you get that information, and I showed it to them. And then that was pretty much how I got it to be official. I made sure I had my website. I made sure I had different ways, set up to receive payments. I used my website for the most part, but I had other additional ways like PayPal and whatnot, in case people, they want to pay that way. But I slowly started getting away from like Cash App and all those unprofessional ways to like Zelle, because I want to be able to document. Because when you want funding for your business, they want to see like, okay, how is this business really doing? And something I would add is it does not always have to be like you don't always have to have like a whole bunch of money coming in. I think what they look at is consistency. So like Stripe offered me capital not too long ago. I think like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, this came right in time because I needed that money for my event. So I was like, oh, they offered me, I just started being consistent in Stripe, I would say. Probably for the past 3 months. So it wasn't even like, Oh, I've been on there for, I've had the account for a while, but money didn't start coming in very, very, very consistently because I started to like just focus on one thing instead of like getting money from PayPal, getting money from here. I was like, let me just have one way where the money is kind of coming in. So they saw that and they offered me money. So basically, when payments continue to come in, they just take like a small portion of that to pay back the loan. So they could offer you like $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, depending on, you know, how much money you have consistently coming in. So with that, there was no credit check. There was nothing. It was just like they just saw my activity on their platform and they gave me money. And then out of every payment that I get moving forward, they're just gonna take a little percentage out to pay it back. So yeah, that was, I was like, oh, this is good. This is nice. So there's different, but that's because I was being professional, right? I wasn't just like, send me on Cash App. You know, Cash App not gonna give me no, I don't think they're gonna give you money. I don't know.
Right.
They might have changed, but you know, I
Right.
think trying to grow your business, you want to be as professional as possible and have things in place.
Do you remember the total cost for like the registering of the business, the EIN? Did you have any trademarks or anything like that?
No, but it was under $200.
All right. I mean, that's the most. So for our audience members, there is no, I work real hard and put my nose to the grindstone. There's no, I just, looked up to God and I was just like, God, help me register this business. No, she went online. She registered the business through, what was the website again?
Sunbiz.
SunBiz. She went to SunBiz. She got her EIN number. Then she opened up a business account for her business so that it's professional and she doesn't use Zelle and Cash App. Those were the steps she took to have a legalized official business recognized by the state.
Yeah,
We've been
our
trying to pull
audience
this
do.
out forever from
Yep.
entrepreneurs.
Yep, our audience do not like that. You'd be like, oh, I just did, just work hard. That's it. Just be consistent. That's it. That's all I did to get
Right.
my business.
No, it's a little more than that. It's a little more than
Right.
and still less than $200, so it's possible to register that way.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you. I know we got we're pressed on time, so what is your final thoughts and what how can the people connect on your social media?
Yeah.
Or website, everything. I'm sorry.
Okay. Got you, got you, got you. So thank you guys so much for this opportunity. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
you guys are characters. I love it. But my final thoughts would be, I just want to encourage everyone to take that leap of faith to do one thing a day that scares you. And try to get an accountability partner. So try to get someone that's going to hold you accountable, that believes in your vision, that believes in your business, that believes in your dreams. And then even if you're on here, you're just like, well, I'm not really interested in starting a business. Okay, but there's different things that you can do. So first of all, y'all need to make sure y'all get a copy of this book because I have over.
Hold that up,
Repeat it again.
please.
What's
Oh,
the
you
name
gotta hold that up.
again?
Hold it up. Hold it up. Freedom Over Fear in bold letters, people.
By
Yes.
Shanine Alicia Young.
Shanine
S-H-H-A-L-A-C-I-A.
Alacia. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You good?
Shanine Alicia Young. Got her whole government on the book. You can't miss it.
Yes. So yes, I would say make sure you get it because in my chapter, I literally go through like, so if you don't want to start a business, but you want to like achieve that financial freedom, you want to gain some extra income in your pockets, I have a list of over, I think, 15 different sites or things that you can use to kind of get that, to kind of get some extra money coming in. So different side hustles and stuff like that. And you might end up like, sometimes people start out as a side hustle and then they're like, I really enjoy this. And they may want to branch it off into a business. But guess what? It takes you have to take that step of faith. You have to take that leap and stop like just like being comfortable. I think sometimes we get too comfortable. So if I can leave you with this is stop being comfortable and think about your future generations. Think about the life that you want to live. You want to be able to, be able to travel and do things that you like and enjoy without having to constantly stress and worry about money. So you want to start taking these steps to get to where you want to be. And yeah, so dang, I forgot what I was going to say. Trying to think. But yeah, mindset is everything. So start watching things that are going to actually get your mind right, start listening to podcasts, start listening, reading different books that can actually educate you and help you and give you that encouragement you need so that, you know, in case your surrounding may not be the best, you're starting to like put the right things into your mind to show you that things are necessary and you can get to, you know, the part where you want to be in life.
And that's a mic drop right there, people. That's it. That's a mic drop. Mm-hmm. Boss.
Yes. So if you guys want to connect with me, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook at Reaching While Teaching. Also, the name that's on the book, Shanine Alacia. That's how it's spelled. I'm trying to think. My website is reachingwhileteaching.com. I have a few things coming up as well. I'm going to be teaching people how to turn their story into a profit. So you want to definitely connect with me so I can show you and walk you through that process. January, I'm enrolling some new people that are ready to write this book and to grow their income. I'm big on pre-selling your book. So I have people that come to me and they literally fund their book project before the book's even done, and which is what my authors did. They had people, you know, buying their book before the book was even created. So I'm big on, you know, pre-selling and getting those funds to fund your project before the project is done. And then, you know, thanking those people that bought it. So making sure you give them a little something special. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for where my program is going. And yeah, if you guys want to connect with me, you want to be an author, you want to improve your content, you want to grow your business, just hit me up. If I can't help you, I got people that can help you. I have a team of amazing, you know, amazing entrepreneurs that are passionate about really just helping people get to the next level. So, yeah, I'm glad I was able to give y'all some tips and share a little bit about my story. I enjoyed it. And, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so very much for being part of the podcast. Diamond Cat is coming back on.
What's going on with him?
I don't know. I think you blew him away so much with all of your tips and advice that overloaded his phone. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Technology does not like me right now.
All right. But thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Young.
What's your website, everything?
Reaching While Teaching. Everything's Reaching While Teaching. So Reaching While Teaching. .com, Instagram, Facebook, and then I'm Shanine Alacia as well on Instagram. And then that's, if you want to purchase a copy of the book, it's on ShanineAlacia.com. You can hit me up on Reaching While Teaching if you want the information as well. Right now, until Christmas, we're having a sale. It's $5 off. So instead of 20, it's 15. And that's, in my opinion, that's a little investment to help you get to your business, to help you get, you know, your finance to the next level, because you're going to be blown away. And if you feel like this book you read and you're just like, I don't learn anything, I'll give you your money back. But I know that's not going to be the case.
Let's go. Thank you so much for this. Thank you. I know our audience appreciate it. We did everything what you said, balls hitting, just straight after through. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. No problem.
Totally. All right, y'all. That's the end of the episode. That's it. And we out.
Bye.